gone, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And we have a lot of the different things we're going to cover today. Trump has been denied access to his son's graduation thanks to this Judge Merchant, and also can't attend his Supreme Court presidential limitations case next week. If he does go to these events, he will go to jail. This guy's daughter has generated about $90+ million in fundraising off of this. This is a election interference like you've never seen. But when you hear the details of this case, it's really going to make you livid. And you know, other news, rhinos win, Americans lose. FISA 702 again passes House by vote of 259 to 128. Here are the 117 rhinos who voted for warrantless spying on Americans, giving Chris Wray the same power that he had to go after Trump and, well, it was Comey, and it was mainly the FBI. So we're going to get to the bottom of that as well. The list of GOP traitors is really too large to discuss on a show. But it's unbelievable. We have to do better. There's not enough Trump supporters or American First supporters in Congress. So Trump writes this: in addition to being prohibited from attending my son Barron's high school graduation, I've just learned that the highly biased judge in the Soros-appointed DA Alvin Bragg's witch hunt case will not allow me to attend the historical presidential immunity argument in front of the United States Supreme Court on Thursday, April 25th, next week. This shows such great disdain and disrespect for our nation's highest court, especially for a topic so important as presidential immunity, without which our country would never be the same. And it would be interesting to see if they tried to arrest him if he decided to go to his son's graduation, how the Secret Service would handle that. That to me would be a bit interesting. So Colin Rugg writes this: Judge Juan Merchant tells Donald Trump that he could be arrested if he skips his hush money trial in New York. It suggests he will have to miss Barron Trump's high school graduation. Evil people. According to Forbes, Merchant told Trump that he would be arrested if he disrupts or skips the trial. Merchant said Trump can only skip if there is a good reason. And I guess his son's graduation and attending the Supreme Court hearing on presidential immunity are not good enough reasons. When Trump asked to skip the trial on Wednesday for his son's graduation, Merchant reportedly said that the decision really depends on if we are on time and where we are in the trial. I can't say it. I wish I could. I can't say it. What a starts with a D and second syllable is a B. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink suffered a meltdown during an earnings call over the company losing billions of dollars in contracts due to the international asset manager's woke environmental, social, and governance ESG agenda. During the call, Fink lost his cool as he complained about lies and misinformation regarding BlackRock's agenda. This is all another part of them wanting to crack down on free speech. That's what that's about. Karine Jean-Pierre says Biden will not accept a standalone bill for the Israeli package. So we want to give money to Israel, but we don't want to give money to Ukraine or to Taiwan or to the endless, hopeless border security. We don't want to do all that. It's just not what we want to do. But, you know, this is a strategy that's bigger than all of what's being reported. And I tweeted this out this morning, and I said, what did I say this morning? I said, the fastest growing employment include government jobs. So when you talk about all these jobs being created, they're government jobs. When you talk about all the jobs being created, they're just jobs that are coming back onto the grid because of COVID lockdowns. It takes sometimes years for all the economy to get back on its feet. And it was the Democrats that pushed all this nonsense. And they lied about the Chinese virus. They lied that it was gain of function. It was paid for by NIH. Fauci lied. People died. And EcoHealth Alliance and DASAC, all these people were involved in the murderous bioweapon that plagued the earth, come hook or by crook, whether it was intentional or whether it was just inept stupidity and their mistake. Either way, somebody ought to go to jail for this. Do you think anybody will? No. Donald Trump will go to jail if he attends Barron's graduation over a stupid case involving Stormy Daniels, whose chief witness is a serial perjurer named Michael Cohen, who paid out of his own private funds for Stormy Daniels to cooperate. Stormy Daniels said she even admitted that this didn't happen. So I said the fastest growing employment include government jobs, which Biden has attempted to make more difficult to terminate. Biden inflation caused by endless spending on wars and illegals entering through open borders have been crushing to the middle class while benefiting the rich. So what's happening is all this spending, all this government spending, whether it's a student loan forgiveness, which is trying to win over the youth vote, the college-educated vote that the Democrats feel they have a hook on, the TikTok crowd, you know, he wants to give them all free education. But he's not going to pull it off because the Supreme Court already weighed in and said that's unconstitutional. So what is he doing? He's spending as much money as he can on illegals. And by the way, they found documents now that say, when you come through the border as an illegal, you must vote for Biden. to keep the border open. Huh? I thought the illegals weren't allowed to vote. Yeah, I got that. I got that one for you too. Let's see what that one is. That's disturbing. It says right here, reminder to vote for President Biden when you're in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to remain open. Best regards, founder Gabby Zavala, REM. REM, it says here, but it's RCM. It's Resource Center Matamoros. So it's in Spanish, and it's written out, and it's an NGO. It says, awake yet? Flyers handed out to migrants by NGO in Mexico encourage those entering the U.S. to illegally vote for Joe Biden. Vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open. And, you know, they want it to stay open because they're making money off of this human trafficking, this NGO. It's a cash business for them. So flyers distributed do this. It's unbelievable that this NGO is putting this stuff out there, right? It's absolutely crazy. But it's less crazy when you start to realize that Barack Obama said this.
To discourage you from voting. If you want to vote and you show up at your polling place, they can't stop you from voting. Mm. They can't stop you from voting. If people want to know how to vote, then you can go to iwillvote.com. The fact of the matter is that we give our power away all the time. You know, we tell ourselves, oh, it's hard, it's not going to matter, it's not going to count. And the powers that be, they're counting on us giving our power away.
Many of the millennials, dreamers, undocumented citizens, and I call them citizens because they contribute to this country, are fearful of voting. So if I vote, will immigration know where I live? Will they come for my family and deport us?
Not true. Okay. And the reason is, first of all, when you vote, you are a citizen yourself, and there is not a situation where the voting rolls somehow are transferred over and people start investigating, etc. The sanctity of the vote is strictly confidential in terms of who you voted for. If you have a family member who maybe is undocumented, then you have an even greater reason to vote. People try to
So he's slick way. He said, if you have a member of your family that's undocumented, that's more reason for you to vote, to get them citizenship. But really, that was like a dog whistle saying, no one's going to check if you do the wrong thing. Is that crazy or what? That's crazy, isn't it? The president of the United States at that time would say those words. So why is it that Biden won't come to the aid of our biggest ally, Israel, but he continues to send billions to Ukraine, right up there with being concerned about protecting their border while our borders remain wide open? You know, this Biden inflation is caused on purpose. Biden spends money, student loan forgiveness, on illegals. And those are the two poor groups, right? Those are the two poor groups. While the middle class and the rich, so the rich, they're exempt. They're actually the ones winning in an equity market where they have all the equity. And all these poor people are given cash and they're going to spend it on who? On food and supplies. And it's the equity market shareholders that benefit from that volume of business. Meanwhile, the middle class worker is working their butts off, but their pay scale can't and won't and doesn't keep pace with inflation. So inflation is another way to redistribute wealth. Remember when Barack Obama said to Joe the plumber, we're going to spread it around a little bit? Well, see, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, just because you borrow from Peter to pay Paul, you could always depend on Paul's support. You take money out of a conservative taxpayer's pocket and you give it to a Planned Parenthood, or you give it to a student loan forgiveness, or you give it to an illegal. You give your those conservative dollars are financing. You know, just like when they say give money to Ukraine, it goes with strings attached, comes back to liberal nonprofits like Anthony Blinken's West Exec group, located across the street from the White House, that then hires with that millions of dollars, hires all these lobbyists to pay off politicians one way or the other through foundations or campaign donations to do what they're told. They're pay to play. I'll pay you. You play nice and do what I tell you to do. All right, pay to play. But it's this redistribution of wealth. So basically, inflation in and of itself is redistribution of wealth. That's what it is. Because the inflation got there because of stimulus spending. Every time we give money to Ukraine, some missile's being built or some oligarch's getting paid, and they're going to then go out and buy a boat or buy a house or buy a bunch of products. They're going to hire new employees who are going to be richer and spend more money. Either way you slice it, if you give money to Solyndra, for example, for green energy, or any of the other things that governments do, spending on research and development, you know, to see how a squirrel can run drunk, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. All that government spending finds its way into the pockets of researchers and NGO leaders and you know, basically activists who then go out to dinner, spend their money, buy their clothes, eat their foods, go out and fine dining, whatever. It keeps the economy rolling. And guess who's not getting that money? The middle class taxpayer who's working that job in the Midwest and elsewhere. So, I mean, the thing is that those flyover states are just getting crushed. And it's not just flyover states. It's every middle class taxpayer. I just, you know, visually, it works better that way to tell that story. But the thing is that as inflation goes up because of this printing of money and this pressure on supply, and the middle class taxpayer is not getting a pay raise because the manufacturing plant can't afford it, they're getting crushed. They no longer can afford to send their kid to school. This is the problem. So inflation is a way to redistribute wealth. Inflation is a way to crush the middle class. It's just one more mechanism. But if you add to the open borders, those people coming in are taking those jobs at the poultry plant, the meatpacking plant, the vineyards, work in the fields, building the decks, building the buildings. You know, most of the people that are hired in all these different places can barely speak English. And you know that they're not getting paid what they're worth, or they're not getting paid a fair wage. In a lot of these cases, they're under the table. You know, I'm going to play something for you. I've been wanting to play for a while, and we've just always run out of time to do it, but I'm going to do it now. I'm going to play this. I played this clip for you once before, a couple of years ago. About a year ago, maybe. But it's quite interesting. So I just have to find it because it's really powerful. And hopefully it won't take me too long to find it. I have so much stuff in my Twitter feed. Right here it is. It's 2 minutes, 2 minute clip. Let's take a listen.
We discovered 10,000 people using
election fraud. Okay, this is about election fraud, but it's also about hiring these illegals and how the illegals are voting as well. Let's take a listen. Okay, we're back on air. We just got booted off for some reason, and we're going to pick up where we left off. Let's just see what we can do here. All right, so we're going to play that clip over again, the audio clip that you were hearing, and I apologize. We just had a technical malfunction, and we're doing our best here, though. So we're going to get you that clip that we promised. All right. So it's actually quite an interesting clip. And I remember when I first heard it, I thought, wow, that is really significant. And here we go.
10,000 people using the exact Social Security number. See if this one rings true. You take an illegal, you bring them in. They sign a piece of paper promising to pay taxes. What they get is a Social Security number. So the employers can take out the taxes. Put a pin in that. Here's what they do. In cities like this, let's think of a chicken processor. They will bring in hundreds of illegals. They will spread them out across all of these plants and factories, giving them jobs. They're all using the same Social Security number. The IRS unconnected our names from the Social Security number. Now when you look it up, it just pings to see if there's an employer. If there is, it says it's good. It validates it.
Well, let's see. It just keeps pausing there. Okay, let's try this again.
Giving them jobs. They're all using the same Social Security number. The IRS unconnected our names from the Social Security number. Now when you look it up, it just pings to see if there's an employer. If there is, it says it's good. It validates it. Why do they do that? Because all of these factories are giving them Social Security numbers. The government turns its back on it. As soon as you have a Social Security number and you go over to Motor Voter, pass the driver's court test, right? You get a driver's license. The person, look, you got a social, you must be a citizen. That's how they pack the rolls. By the way, those guys don't pay taxes anyway. It's taken out by companies. Our government's been sitting on $1.7 trillion slush fund that one fund has still in it to this day. So if you want to know where the dark money comes from, by the way, that's what, $100 million in a month in
interest.
I could go on. I now understand this is why they tried to kill us. And it's not stuff I wanted to know. It's not stuff I wanted to know about my country. It's not stuff I believed. But we have a uniparty. We don't have multiple parties. Everybody's benefited from this at one time or another.
That's the scary part, is there's no one on the right side or the wrong side. Let's take a listen to this guy. Right here. Okay, this is Patrick Bet-David. Makes a really good point here.
2024 is going to be very chaotic. It's going to be weird. There's some weird movies coming out. How many guys saw the recent movie, Leave the World Behind? Anybody saw that movie there? Oh, okay. Yeah, you know all these. Am I watching a movie or is this a documentary realistic thing? And then I'm seeing Mark Zuckerberg just spent $100 million building a house in Hawaii with a nuclear bunker. What does he know that the rest of the world doesn't know about? Talk about the timing. Oh, accidentally, coincidentally, a week after that movie comes out, a new movie comes out. What's the name of that movie? Civil war. Civil? Huh. Leave the world behind. Our power grid in America hasn't been updated. 75% of it hasn't been updated in 50 years. And you're kind of talking about that. Then you're pinning whites against blacks. There's a line in the movie that says, Dad, you know if something goes down, we can't trust these white people. I know that's something both you and Mom agree on. Why do you put that line in the movie, Barack? And you were helping with the
script.
Why would you put that in the movie? Why would you put that in the movie? Barack, weren't you the same guy that gave a talk at the DNC in 2004 about bringing people together? What happened to that guy?
Right? Right? I mean, you know, it's insane. This movie, Civil War, it's completely liberal. We wouldn't have a civil war if it wasn't for the Democrats, who are basically poking the bear. And at some point, the bear is going to wake up and it's going to be game over for them. And they know it. That's why they want to take away your guns. So why is it that Biden won't come to the aid of our biggest ally in Israel? Well, he continues to give money to Ukraine, as we said that before. And, you know, that's just because there's a lot of money laundering going on. Ukraine's a cash cow. Heartbroken, Trump writes, who will explain for me to my wonderful son, Barron, who is a great student at a fantastic school, that his dad will likely not be allowed to attend his graduation ceremony? Now, I think that some of this part is this statement that he's making is a plea to the court. Basically, the court is going to get a lot of pressure through sympathy for Trump. And not only that, I think it's going to work to Trump's advantage electorally. But this fake case is solely meant to attack crooked Joe Biden's political opponent, me. Well, let's take a listen to his statement yesterday when he walked out of court. We have a lot more on this judge, too. But I want to hear. Let's see if I can get it. Oh, well, we have a lot of good clips here for this stuff, but I'm trying to find the one. I lost when the system crashed during my show. I lost a lot, but I'm going to find it. The one clip I want to play for you. All right, bear with me. Working on the fly here. This is why we actually prepare for the show.
It's a misdemeanor.
Let's see. Well, okay. Well, we're getting there. Right here. Here it is.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son is graduating from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go to the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. I'm very proud of the fact that he did so well. And was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues, and it continues forever. And we're not going to be given a fair trial. It's a very, very sad thing. In addition, as you know, next Thursday, we're before the United States Supreme Court at a very big hearing on immunity. And this is something that we've been waiting for a long time. And the judge, of course, is not going to allow us. He's a very conflicted judge. And he's not going to allow us to go to that. He won't allow me to leave here for a half a day, go to D.C. and go before the United States Supreme Court, because he thinks he's superior, I guess, to the Supreme Court. We got a real problem with this judge. We have a real problem with a lot of things having to do with this trial, including the DA, because you go right outside and people are being mugged and killed all day long, and he's sitting here all day with about 10 or 12 prosecutors over nothing, over nothing, over what people say shouldn't be a trial. So I just want to thank you very much. But that I can't go to my son's graduation, or that I can't go to the United States Supreme Court, that I'm not in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina campaigning like I should be, it's perfect for the radical left Democrats. That's exactly what they want. This is about election interference. That's all it's about. Thank you very much.
Fascinating, right? It's just unbelievable that the greatest president our country has ever had is being treated like this. It's obviously it's third world mentality. It's a third world situation. But let's take a listen to Jonathan Turley here.
Is this one in court?
Well, there's a novel question, John. I'm not sure. I mean, this is a Frankenstein case. They took a dead misdemeanor. They attached it to a dead alleged federal felony and zapped it back into life. So many of us are just amazed to watch this actually walk into court, because it's not a recognizable crime that any of us have seen. This, it does not appear to be a federal crime, but that's the theory that Bragg is using. So to go into the Wayback Machine, this state misdemeanor died because of the statute of limitations. Then what Bragg said was, well, I'm going to allege that you did false filings on business records to hide a crime. But he was very ambiguous what that crime might be. He still is ambiguous. But it is assumed to be a federal election crime. The problem is the federal government doesn't view it as a crime. They decided not to prosecute. And most election experts say that this is the type of thing that's failed in the past. So this bizarre indictment is now going to be an equally bizarre trial. And to this day, there's some confusion as to Bragg's actual theory as to what was the exact crime that Trump was hiding from all this.
All right. This is what the Wall Street Journal said about Bragg trying to bootstrap this up to a federal felony. He said, quote, 7 months before the 2024 election, it's a trial that shouldn't happen in a case Mr. Bragg shouldn't have brought. The Stormy affair was sordid business, but the DA's argument is a legal stretch in ways that might bother a skeptical juror or an appeals court. So they're in jury selection for probably the next couple of weeks or so. Will the prosecution find jurors that are favorable to its case, or do you think jurors have already made up their minds to say, as you have said, why the heck is this even in court?
Well, look, this is the worst jury pool that Trump could pull unless you just took everyone at the DNC headquarters. I mean, it is as a bad a pool as you can get. Now, that doesn't mean that they throw up their hands. They're not going to try to find someone who likes Trump. That's just, there's not many people available that fit that description in Manhattan. What they're looking for is someone who is independent, maybe a little feisty. You're going to have jury advisors there. Looking for people that have great conviction and confidence. They may dislike Trump, but you want people mm-hmm. who like the law more. And that's what you're really looking for. You're also looking for what I call a Trojan juror. These are jurors who will lie to get into a high-profile case,
yes.
And they'll be hiding within them bias and past conduct that they won't reveal. That you can often find out through social media. So there's a lot of work that's going to have to be.
Is this one in court?
Crazy, right? Absolutely crazy. So here's Eric Trump speaking about this.
Listen, Janine, honestly, my thoughts are the best thing I ever did was get out of New York. New York is a hopeless place at this point. It's so sad. This judge ruled against my father before we even went to trial. He ruled against our entire family. It was a setup from the very beginning. This was never supposed to be in that court. It was supposed to be in the commercial division. They would never allow it to get there. This judge, the animosity, the way he looked at my father in the courthouse was horrible. I've never seen such hatred in anybody's eyes before. Janine, we're an amazing company. And I can truly say that we have never missed a loan payment. We've never defaulted.
Now, this one was the one about Erdogan, and this was about the other, E. Jean Carroll. It turns out that E. Jean Carroll, on that case, some of the jurors were working on the Biden, working for the DNC on behalf of Biden. They were DNC employees. And get this, that they weren't allowed to ask whether or not they worked for the DNC or not. So, you know, how do you, you know, what do you do there, right? They're planting people in the jury pool. They're planting DNC operatives, and they're being instructed that you're not allowed to ask them what they do professionally. So you're not allowed to even ask the question, do you work for the DNC? Or have you ever worked for the DNC? And that is a rigged election. That's a banana republic right there. Is what that is. This guy, Merchant, summary of today's from Alvin Bragg's team and the judge, recited the Access Hollywood tape. Judge threatened Trump with jail for any offenses in court. DA asked for fines levied against Trump for defending himself. Judge may not let Trump go to his son's graduation. This isn't a court hearing. This is a humiliation ritual aimed at the Republicans' leading candidate. The House should be doing a full investigation and putting an end to this immediately. Where is Speaker Johnson on this? Where is the House leadership on this? Where is Mitch McConnell on this? Well, I can tell you where some of the House Republicans are. Just in the last 24 hours, they voted voted for the FISA 702 again, passed the House by a vote of 259 to 128. Here are the 119 rhinos that passed that. So Mario Nawfal says, 12-hour news recap. Iran closed its nuclear facilities to inspectors on its security considerations as they prepare for a possible retaliatory strike from Israel. Israel's Dimona Nuclear Research Facility in the Negev Desert has been hacked. Iran is suspiciously quiet. The Olympic torch has been lit in southern Greece and begins its journey to Paris, where it will arrive on July 26th. Fortunately, none of the journey involves a Boeing, so it should make it okay. Iran threatened that it would respond aggressively with a massive escalation of Israel if Israel attacks them. Australia's e-safety commissioner has ordered the removal of any images or videos of the church stabbing in Sydney that injured four people. Strangely, footage of the stabbing at a mall in Bondi Junction that killed six people is okay. Copenhagen Stock Exchange has been devastated by a fire that engulfed it during renovation work. Netanyahu's war cabinet is still trying to decide how to respond to Iran's attack as the international community puts them under intense pressure not to escalate the situation into a regional war. Zelensky desperately tries to get more Patriot missiles before Israel uses them all. So Biden has formally refused to testify in front of the Committee on Oversight and Accountability's impeachment inquiry. He was originally keen to attend because he thought it had something to do with peaches. Trump claims that a judge's order in his hush money trial that he must attend court every day is election interference. And Russia claims it has evidence proving that Moscow terror attack is tied to Ukrainian nationalists. Yeah, well, why not? All right, so that's the 12-hour recap. So now we got this. We got Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene explodes, writes, "No, I am not voting for the rule on Johnson's bundle of funding bills for billions more to Ukraine and other foreign wars." When Joe Biden signs H.R. 2 into law and Schumer holds the Mayorkas impeachment trial in the Senate, I will agree to vote for the rule only. The United States Congress swore an oath to America and Americans, and our country is under a daily deadly invasion, and the cartels are at war against our country, the Biden admin is giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Speaker Johnson is not holding Democrats accountable, nor leading your Republican majority. He's actually giving in to Democrats' every demand, and he's using dirty swamp tactics to push through the American Last agenda. Of course, that's why he leaked his call with Netanyahu. It's time to stand for America, for everyone at home. Voting for the rule allows the actual bill to move forward for a vote. You could still vote no on the actual bill after voting yes on the rule. There are two separate votes and commonly the way the House passes bills. However, Speaker Johnson can suspend the rules and force the actual bill to the floor for a one-time yes or no vote, which is what Johnson did with other major funding rules. Strategy will change if that happens. Okay, so let's take a listen to what Marjorie Taylor Greene had to say here.
What's your thoughts, ma'am?
What is your reaction? So many. I am firmly against the plan as it stands right now. Here's what Republican voters across the country know. They know that Speaker Johnson passed a two-part omnibus that funded Biden's open border, deadly open border policies, funded the DOJ, which has 91 federal indictments against President Trump and wants to put him in jail for the rest of his life, funded the FBI that raided Mar-a-Lago, and gave him a brand new building. Now he's telling America and telling Republican voters that he's going to put Ukraine money first, $60 billion, supposedly broken down to make it more appealing somehow, a funding for Taiwan, funding for Israel, and then some sort of national security package that includes the TikTok ban, which, by the way, there's a lot of Republican voters on TikTok, and Republican voters are angry at Facebook and Instagram for being censored, and are angry at CISA and DHS for spying on Americans in Facebook and formerly Twitter. This is such a scam, and people are so done with it. People care about actions. They're tired of Republicans going out and promising all these promises and saying how we're fighting for America and then sending their hard-earned tax dollars. By the way, today's tax day, April 15th, everyone's having to pay the IRS to fund this government that doesn't care about actually fixing the problems here at home. They just want to kick the can down the road. And people are not going to like any of this. They're going to be angry about it. And I think it's another wrong direction for Speaker Johnson in our conference.
Are you going to vote on your motion to vacate in light of this plan?
I haven't decided on that yet, but I just stood in the conference and told basically my entire conference that right there. And I just think this is the wrong direction to go. Our border is the number one policy issue that voters care about all across the country. And the Senate has not taken up a vote on H.R. 2, our border package that we sent over there. They're just demanding that the House vote to fund Ukraine, vote to fund Taiwan, and send more money to Israel, claiming that our military is running out of ammunition. Well, you want to know something? If these people in there cared about our military, why don't we do a separate bill to fund and rebuild our military with ammunition and supplies without having to fund a foreign war to do that?
Ukraine has been a red line for you in the past, and you've said that even recently when you filed the original motion.
I didn't say Ukraine alone. Okay. I said we should not put Ukraine money before our border. And that's what I said.
What is part of your consideration now as you decide what you're going to do here?
I'm telling you exactly what my thoughts are, unfiltered, as I walked out of the conference right there.
Congressman, do you think that the Speaker deserves to lose his job?
I don't think he's definitely not going to be Speaker next Congress if we're lucky enough to have the majority. And I think that is widely held belief throughout the conference.
Is he going to be Speaker for the rest of this Congress, do you think?
That is to be determined. Like I said, I'm still processing.
Why is it his fault if he's just letting the members of Congress make their own decisions here?
He's the Speaker of the House. He's the Speaker of the House. He is also the leader of our Republican conference. Leaders know how to lead, or at least they should know how to lead. I haven't seen leadership yet. He's been leaning for the Democrats and serving the Biden agenda.
Would you still blame the Speaker for a lack of leadership if Republicans end up signing on to a discharge petition and that becomes the vehicle to vote for Ukraine, Israel, et cetera?
No, I wouldn't blame him for that. I've put discharge petitions in for my bills before. So I don't blame the Speaker if a group of members actually go at 218 and sign a discharge petition. Maybe I should put a discharge petition in for my Protect Children's Innocence Act. That's a bill that nobody seems to care about getting a vote on. And if we care about doing messaging bills like election integrity, which I do support that bill, why don't we do more messaging bills that I think are Republican based?
What do you say to your colleagues who are saying this is a fool's errand to tease this motion to vacate, that doing so and trying to vacate them gives the power to Jeffries?
It doesn't give the power to Jeffries because there's not a single Republican that would vote for Jeffries to be Speaker. And we have two more Republicans coming once they win special elections.
Did the Speaker respond to him there? Did he respond to me?
Yes, he said that the appropriation bills didn't do what they said, and he said we can go through them if you like. And I said, yes, I'd like to sit down and go with those appropriations because I know for a fact they do exactly what I told them.
Congressman, why wouldn't you do the motion to vacate? Why are you still considering?
Because it's a very serious matter, and I care about our majority. I've paid all my dues in the conference and then some. A lot of my colleagues in there haven't paid their dues to the NRCC. So, again, it's actions that matter, and by paying all my dues in, I support the majority, and I want it next time. So I'm being careful. I also respect my colleagues. I actually care about what they think, too, their opinions and the districts they represent. So a motion to vacate is such a serious issue, should be handled responsibly, not just, you know, willy-nilly.
Yep. Yeah, she made a lot of sense in that, and that also covered a lot of ground. You know, the bills that are being they're tortured. I mean, you just take a listen. The left does not want a standalone bill. Let's take a listen.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has said that he'll move forward with a vote on additional Israel aid. If Congress were to pass additional aid for Israel and only that, will President Biden reject it?
So we've been very clear, my colleagues from here just moments ago, that we will not accept a standalone. A standalone would actually not help Israel and Ukraine. It would actually delay the needed aid that they obviously need to fight. You see what was happening in Ukraine. Obviously, the brave people of Ukraine are fighting against a tyrant. We need to make sure that they have the assistance that they need. We saw what happened in Israel just over the weekend, and the leadership that this president has shown. It would actually not help them if we do a standalone, and we do not support a standalone.
Well, the Ukraine is the tyrant. That's just it. They are the tyrant. And we shouldn't be supporting tyrants. All right, so let's take a listen to Kirby. Let's take a listen to this.
You are opposed to a standalone bill that would just work on Israel, as we've seen proposed. We would oppose a standalone bill. Yeah.
All right, so then there's this guy that just can't stand Speaker Johnson. He calls him Squeaker Johnson. And then there's this TikTok part that comes into play. Says, so now Congress is trying to bring the TikTok bill back as part of the censorship operation that the government has going. So they're trying to bring that package to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. And, of course, nothing to be done on the border crisis because they don't care about you and are happy as things are. So why now, is the question. There's a really long piece I posted up on my Twitter, but somebody is saying kids are dying because TikTok is feeding them suicide content. Probably true. That could be fixed without shutting down TikTok, because TikTok, to do that, would then be allowed, they would set the groundwork for them to have the laws and authority to shut down X and Elon Musk, just like Brazil's doing with X in Brazil. So let's take a listen to this guy. This is Joey Manarino. Squeaker Mike Johnson promised us he wouldn't bring Ukraine aid to the floor, but he is. Even if it's a standalone bill, why is he even bringing Ukraine aid to the floor?
All right, Mike Johnson, he is the Squeaker of the House. He replaced Kevin McCarthy. And when he did that, he was very clear. Ukraine aid was not coming to the floor. Well, today, Ukraine aid is going to come to the floor in a standalone bill. Okay? Standalone bill. He's going to do three standalone bills. Israel, Taiwan, and Ukraine. Now, we were told very clearly by Mike Johnson, he has a great record on Ukraine when he was personally voting for it before he became House Squeaker. Now that he is the Squeaker, they are making a complete and total change in his policy, whoever is running the show, whoever's pulling the strings of Squeaker Johnson. So rather than give a legitimate bill, now he's doing the SAVE Act, right? The illegal aliens can't vote bill, which is nice, mostly performative, but still nice. Why, oh why, would you put standalone Ukraine aid on the floor of the House? It's not right. It's a lie. It's not what we were promised. The Republican Party should be the party of America first. It should be the party of conservatism. It should be the party of taking care of the American people. There is no excuse whatsoever to be putting Ukraine aid on the floor of the House after you told us you wouldn't do it. It just doesn't make sense. So here's my question. What do they have on Squeaker Mike? What is up with Squeaker Mike? I don't get it. This man voted against every single piece of Ukraine aid except the first one that just about everyone voted for when we actually didn't realize what a scam Ukraine was. What are we doing, Squeaker? What are we doing? It's time to stop it. It's time to stop it. Because you've sold us out, okay? The FISA thing was a disaster. You voted for FISA. In principle, you were against FISA before. Everything changed once he became the Squeaker of the House. What changed? And no, I'm not mispronouncing Speaker. I'm calling him Squeaker because a Speaker speaks with conviction. A Squeaker wails and wails with no purpose. And right now, we don't have a Speaker. We have a Squeaker. And I don't want to even vacate the guy. I don't think it's going to get any better. I think it's a position that is just corrupted inherently. They get you in there and they say, okay, Squeaker, here's what we have on your family. Here's what we're going to do to your children. Now you're either going to vote the way we want you to vote or, and that's just how I believe it goes because there's no other explanation for why this normal conservative guy sold out.
Crazy, right? Absolutely crazy. That's our exit music. Well, you know, stunning. Our government is so corrupt, isn't it, folks? Well, we are at a war with our own government is what I think we are finding ourselves in. And the liberals are running the government right now. And the rhinos as well. Well, that brings us to the end of the Scott Adams Show. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. Find out how we're advancing America First policies to make America great again. The Scott Adams Show is actually a big part of that. We're advancing this message each and every day, commercial free. Make a donation if you'd like to continue to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. Also, use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. Red State is your promo code. And we'll see you next time.
On the mounds gets deeper. They grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper. Just to bury my kids right up to their necks.